History Project. This is April 5th, 2008. I am Phyllis Borden.
And I'm Ruth Stryjak.
And we are today doing to discuss the Easton rug hooking class. This class was formed in Easton in 1966 with 12 members. Ruth and I are the only ones left of the original 12. Do you think we should tell who the 12 were? Why not?
All right. I can't read it, Phyllis. You'll have to do that.
Okay, the original 12 were Ruth Stryjak, Molly Austin, Phyllis Borden, Clara McNall, Bernice Booth, Martha Eidelman, Gladys Coffin, Ruth Rapp, Verena Wells, Tilly Postra, Estella Johnson, and Alice Pruxma. We met once a week at Burton Hall. Our teacher was
Elisa McDonald
from Hudson Falls.
Fort Edward.
And at that point, three had had previous experience. The rest of us were all beginners, I believe.
What had happened was Verena Wells was the instigator of wanting to have a rug hooking class in Burton Hall. And she went to the then supervisor, Bill Sharon, and asked if we could use the hall. And he said, yes, we could. And she and her husband would open it up and clean up after us. I don't know what else to say about that. But anyway, what happened was Verena was instrumental in getting a woman, I believe her name was, I can't think of her last name. She used to run the adult education rug cooking class in Greenwich School.
Oh, Marion Roberson's mother.
Was she a Roberson?
Wasn't she Marion Roberson's mother?
I don't know.
Wasn't her name.
But anyway, she induced her to come down to Burton Hall in the month of July. I can't remember what year that was, but and she invited various people to come down. And Molly Austin was one, I was one, and she had her introduce us to rug hooking once a week. Well, having done that, none of us could proceed any further without a teacher. And she said, well, come to my house. And she lived outside of Greenwich. And we went there for once a week for a month. And then she announced that she was going to marry a minister and move to Utica. So there we were, already beginning to hook with no teacher. And she said that there was a teacher up in Fort Edward, and she was having a rug exhibit at a church in Fort Edward. And we went down there, and that's where I saw my 8x10 rug that I decided I was going to embark upon. Mm-hmm. And I spoke with her, and she said that she would take us as pupils. And we met in someone's house. Her name was Ruth Cullings. And Molly Austin and Verena and I went up once a week for 3 years. And finally, we induced Aletha, that was our rug cooking teacher, Aletha McDonald, we induced Aletha to come down. And she said she couldn't come down unless it wouldn't pay her because she didn't drive and her husband was retired and he'd have to bring her down with all her equipment, unless she had 12 people. So we had a meeting at my house and we had 12 people. And at the last minute, 3 of them dropped out. So Martha Eidelman recruited Alice Pruxma, Ruth Rapp, and I guess she was the third person. So we ended up with 12 people. And that was the beginning. And that was in 1966 that we moved to Easton. That much I am certain of.
What was the day of the week that you chose to
Thursday.
Thursday.
Thursday. We have met Thursdays.
See,
ever
we used
since.
To, when I went to Glens Falls, it was the Wednesday class, and we were the Thursday class. And it's been that way ever
That's
since.
That's right, because Aletha had.
Right. But Aletha at that point she taught adult education rug hooking up in, I guess, the area of Fort Edward, and she had about 100 pupils. She really was an excellent teacher. and I'm trying to think of what else to say.
You don't remember when our first show was?
Well, no, because what happened, I don't remember the year, but what happened is we started in 66, and it takes about 3 years to mount a show, to have enough material. So I would say about 3 years from 66, we decided to have a show, and we really didn't have that much. So a station wagon load of items came down from the from her other pupils, and they fleshed out the show, and that was our first show. And we actually charged 50 cents admission. And it was a success, and the money that we made, we had raffles and things like that, and the money that we made was given to the Eastern Library. And every 3 years after that, we had a show, and eventually there was a dried flower show in the library, so we tied it together. There was the flower show on one side of the road, the rug show on the other side, and the church always gave us a luncheon, which helped bring people in. It was a big help to have that luncheon. Can you think of anything else?
I know at first the monies went toward the library upkeep. I think 1 year, I think, we advertised we were trying to put a roof on the library.
Mm-hmm.
So this was what we were striving for, the monies to go for that.
But everything that we made in the beginning always went to the library. And then as the class evolved, and every time we had a show, people would come to see, and then they would want a hook. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, Aletha got to a point where she had to cut it off because she simply couldn't do it anymore. And it, somewhere in there, Ruth Rapp became the last...
Jane McGowan,
certified Jane McGowan rug hooking teacher. And so she picked up a lot of the people and had her own class, because Aletha could only handle so many people.
So people joined the original 12.
Oh, yes. It fluctuated. People.
It got to the point where we had about 20-some, 22 or 24, before Aletha said, I can't get around to each person to help them. And it wasn't fair for them to come, pay money for a lesson, and then not be able to get any instruction.
Right.
So she cut the number off. Then Ruth...
Ruth has had a class.
Ruth had a class at her house.
At her house up in Easton. And then eventually, as time went on, Aletha lost her husband, and that was her driver. So we had trouble at one point getting her back and forth. Mm-hmm. And eventually it got to the point where she became ill and she was paralyzed with a stroke. And so we went out and found ourselves another teacher.
How many years was Aletha your teacher?
Oh, a long time. I honestly don't remember.
Like more than 10 years?
Oh, definitely, definitely. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. I don't remember when. You don't remember when she died, do you? No, I don't either. But anyway, so we had to find a teacher. So Millie Short.
She was with us better than 20 years.
I would say so.
I can remember there a retirement party.
Well,
for
I have
her.
I came across pictures of that party, and Judy planned a surprise party in Burton Hall as her 25th anniversary as a teacher.
At Burton Hall? Her 25th anniversary?
No, as a teacher in general, I would say, of a teaching career. Mm-hmm. And. I should have brought those pictures with me because it had dates on it, and I didn't think of doing that. But in any event, after she became ill, we had to find ourselves a new teacher. So we had a woman come down. I don't remember her name. Do you? The woman?
From
they interviewed someone up in North, and she had gave private lessons to about five or six people. Mm-hmm. And we asked her if she would come. Well, she came, and she didn't know how to circulate very well. Mm-hmm. And people were dissatisfied with the lack of direction they were getting, and so poor Millie Shaw took Judy Lundberg, and they went up and they fired the poor woman. And in the interval, we had Rose Korb come into our class. And where did she live?
Cambridge,
yes. All right. And she came into the class, and she was a talented hooker, and we asked her to teach, and she did. And she taught fine hooking. And in the meantime, Dick LaBarge joined our class. And He turned out to be an excellent hooker, and he also started dyeing. And he and Rose would dye, and that's a very important part of rug cooking, is to have the material that you need to do your piece. And so he taught primitive hooking, and Rose taught fine hooking. And then family matters made it impossible for Rose to continue to hook anymore, so we lost her. And Dick became our teacher. And at that point, my husband became ill, and I had to drop out, so you'll have to pick up what happened there, because I wasn't around any longer to...
Well, can you just even talk about, like, in the days when you first started, like, what happened in the class? Like, how did you build to such a point that you could actually have a shop? Like, what...
Well, what would...
Like, what types of things did you make?
Well, everybody chose what they wanted to do. Mm-hmm. And what our goal was at that point, having had one show, was not to show what you'd shown before.
Mm-hmm. Every show would have all new pieces.
It would not. There would be no repetition of showing. And I mean, we had such prolific hookers mm-hmm. that worked, and we were able to pull it off every 3 years.
And people did tend to hook their preferences, so to speak. Some people hooked just rugs. Other people hooked almost complete pictures.
Right.
Remember the lighthouse that Bernice Booth
yes.
did?
I remember the wreath that was sculptured.
Yes.
I mean, that was a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
I mean, people branched out because see, Aletha had, she had catalogs, and we didn't just hook with Mrs. McGowan because she had died and her daughter had continued her catalog. But we started using other catalogs, and that brings in other different types of hooking. I mean, we did pillows, we did pictures, we did...
Handbags?
Yes, handbags.
That was
oh,
a big
good
rage
heavens.
One year.
Yeah, right. And we had one woman design bird pictures on wool, and we hooked on wool so you didn't have to do a background. And they were all pictures. And when I think of the things that I hooked, and hookers gave things away to their family and friends. I have very little in my house. I gave everything away.
I think one of the first things I remember at one of our, maybe it was our first show, people would come in who were not familiar with the club or with hooking, and I know one woman thought that everything that was there was on sale.
Oh.
That you could just come in and select mm-hmm. and buy something. And she was so astounded when I said, no, I wouldn't part for that for the world. I would give it away
See?
To a family member, but I couldn't sell it. And she couldn't understand that.
I know that, see, when Verena had hooked before, and she would hook things and sell them, and I don't know of one rug hooker that I know that ever sold. Well, I shouldn't say that. No. No, they mostly just gave things away.
Did you sign them?
Well, what I did, mm-hmm. you had to sew tape around the back, mm-hmm. and what I would always do was take Aletha's initials and my initials and the date I started and the date I finished, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because without her, there would have been no peace.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes, most of them sign in the corner, okay. hook in. Initials and a date.
Well, some people hook it on top of their piece.
Yes.
I always put mine on the binding. But some people would put their initials and maybe the date in their piece
right on
right the
on
top.
Yeah. Mm. That's what I did mostly.
Which one?
Put the initials on the piece, particularly if it was a rug. I wasn't so apt to do it in a picture because...
It would intrude.
Yes, it would sort of intrude in the picture. That way you could sign it on the back.
Mm-hmm.
As I've gotten older, I have tended toward pictures because they were smaller. When I start, I like to see the end.
mm-hmm.
Not, I could remember Ruth started a, what was it, 8x10?
Well, see, what happened was I didn't know what to do and I'd never been exposed to it. So I had an antique three-cornered chair and this... Mrs. whatever her was, the lady that came down from Greenwich, she sold me a piece that was like floral, pansies and things like that. And I remember trading a lilac bush with Stella Johnson for some material because I didn't have anything. And Aletha was so nice. I mean, she would give me different things. In fact, in my first rug, which is a half-round rug called Young Man's Fancy, it was daffodils, pansies, pussy willows, and a twisted ribbon. I have Welling Wells, Verena Wells' husband's scarf is in there. He gave that to me. I mean, you know, when you start out, you really have to. And then we started going to the rummage sales up in Glens Falls and buying, like, old bathrobes, and they had beautiful skirts.
They had, you know, Pendleton.
Oh, yes.
Pendleton is, but you needed to have something that was all wool.
It had to be 100% wool.
Yes.
And, I mean, my basement, unfortunately, and still is quite full of wool. In fact, Henry said, someday a moth is going to come along and the house is going to fly.
Because once you got started, you couldn't stop, yes, right?
No, I mean, it was an addiction. It was an addiction. One time, Linda and I went up, it was Shelburne, I believe it was, and on the ship, they had a rug hooking display, and this woman had beautiful wool. And I said, I've got to buy that. And my daughter said, Dad will kill you. And the man in the back said, I told my wife, if she buys any more wool, I'm going to start raising moths. I remember that man so well. But no, it's an addiction. It really is. You know, you have to.
You wouldn't know if you could find it again, right?
Nowadays so many blends have come in. Even what you would think would be quality wool isn't necessarily 100% wool, and that is what you need. And plaids and things like that are especially
nice.
Versatile, for want of a better word.
Now, what's your favorite piece that you did? What would you say was that a hard question?
For me, I don't think so. I think my favorite piece is the half round that I did. I've given it to my daughter, Kathy, because it was the first thing I ever did, and I can tell who gave me what to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And I was just so pleased with myself because I... And then, unfortunately, I went to a rug show, and I fell in love with an 8x10 rug, and I was doing fine hooking. And Welling Wells said to me, that's going to take you 10 years. It's half done, and it's under one of my beds in a bag. It never got finished because Aletha led me up the garden path. I used to come and drag this rug, and the cat that was a resident in the house where we hooked used to sleep in the folds. And she said, Ruth, you can, it's repetition. It's called Fields and Woods and Fields is the name of the piece. And I had got quite a bit of it done. She said, now you can do that at home. You can hook other things because I saw these beautiful things happening. So then I fell among thieves, so to speak, and I started hooking pictures and different rugs. And then supposedly when I went home, I was supposed to do that, but it didn't work out.
This rug that she speaks of is a light green background with all kinds of leaves.
No, it's not big.
Your big one?
No, the big one is basically beige. And
beige?
Oh, yeah. And Aletha...
See, I don't remember the right thing.
Now, I went up to Aletha's house, and I had to soak... It's a good thing we had two bathrooms. I had to soak the wool in something called Plurisol, which makes it wetter than wet, so it will accept dye. And we went up to Aletha's, and I don't remember the shade that she put in, but she tinted the background. So it's not green, but it's toned. It was too flat, she said. Mm-hmm. So I went up there once, and we did a batch. I had 29 yards of material that I had to cut up. That's what she figured would be the background amount. And the kids came home one day and said, what is that horrible smell? Well, I had the wool soaked in the tub, and I couldn't take it up because we'd had a snowstorm or something like this, and the bathroom just smelled terrible. But anyway, eventually we dyed all three batches because we had to go back to her house so that the water wouldn't be different. Mm-hmm. And I've got 29 yards of dyed material in cans in the basement. Well, what's left that I haven't used. But we had a wonderful time, and... it was, you know, very sad when we lost Aletha.
Yeah, it was nice because we not only that, but we developed friendships and...
Right.
Because we had a common cause, a common bond.
There's something about...
We helped each other out. You know, if somebody said, you need something of this color, I'll see what I've got. And we share.
You did share. And also, I shouldn't say this, but rug hookers are good cooks. And I've gotten some of the most wonderful recipes in my collection. We always traded, and we always had a Christmas party, and then we had a farewell luncheon. And Aletha would hook from September until I believe it was the end of May, and then she and two of her longtime friends from up north would go down to West Virginia, and she'd take teacher's classes. Mm-hmm. And
so were you on your own from May?
No, we didn't hook in the summer.
Oh.
See, because all of us had kids, and if the kids were home, you just couldn't do that. We hooked during what you'd almost term the school year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how that went.
And so, how long were you together on Thursdays? An hour?
We started at 9:30, and we hooked until 2 with just a brief break for luncheon.
Oh, okay.
Well, it really wasn't worth a teacher coming down.
Right.
From that distance to for only an hour.
No, but even for her classes up there, when she taught locally, it was always, I mean, if you didn't put some time in, you weren't going to do anything. She always taught from 9:30 to 2, no matter where it was she was. And then she did have, as I say, nighttime classes with the, I guess you call it adult education.
I think it was adult education.
Up there.
And was it the type of thing that you could do and, like, catch up with one another at the same time? Like, there was conversation?
Oh, sure. Yeah. Some people visited, and you just talked across the room, or you broke up once in a while and would visit among yourselves. Mm-hmm. But I was going to tell you something, and now it got away from me.
That was another thing that we always did, was keep track of what other people were doing. Mm-hmm. Not get so engrossed in your thoughts you couldn't appreciate what somebody else's talent was.
And some of them were so beautifully talented.
And they you get to the point where a hooker has his own distinct style, like a painter would.
Aletha says it's like handwriting.
That
the way you hook,
you could almost tell,
is distinctive from somebody else.
So you could go to a show and see a piece and know who it's what.
Well,
like among yourselves.
Among ourselves, we might.
Yeah.
George Barton comes to mind. I mean, when they had that show in Victory Mills, Dick had a show there a number of years ago, and I mean, his work is distinctive. You can tell. And that's another thing that happened. Dick LaBarge was the first man to join our class. Mm-hmm. And he said, you don't know what courage it took for me to walk into the room with all those ladies. And I wasn't there when that happened because I had broken my leg, and so I never got to see him come in. But he turned out to be a talented person to the point where he has been teaching. And he has classes in his house in Victory Mills and still does. Mm-hmm.
He was the Black Shutters Antique Shop. You were interested. Yes. You know that in Victory Mills? That's the people.
Yes, and I know that because Pat Kirk and there's been several other people that have learned through him.
Yes,
right.
But he has an entirely different concept of it.
Mm-hmm.
He teaches what is called primitive. The pieces are cut wider, and the technique is different. You outline and then fill in. In the fine hooking that Ruth and I learned, you did a lot of shading with different colors, which is where the dyeing came in to be so important. Because if you were making a rose, you would have 8 shades of a color.
Right.
So as you hooked, it would take shape.
And you would do your own dyeing?
No, I didn't.
Some people did. I tried dyeing, and I wasn't very good at it.
I decided
it
wasn't
was time
for me.
Consuming.
I had one stove and one sink, and I was not going to mix dyeing with cooking.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who did the dyeing fixed a place for themselves to do just that.
Right. Mm-hmm. And see, what happened was when Dick, when we started the class, Elizabeth Vaughan lived up, I just can't remember where she lived, and she was our class dyer. If you wanted something, she would dye what it was you wanted. And in fine hooking, when we started, it was shading was the premier requirement, so that you had a transition. In primitive hooking, you can have jumps in color. I can't describe it in a better way, because it was primitive. Right. Years ago, they would cut up whatever it was they had. Mm-hmm. One time when I first started, I couldn't stop, and I was downstairs hooking, and Henry came downstairs, and he said, "Do you know what time it is?" And I said, "No." He says, "It's 20 of 2 in the morning. There's got to be something the matter with a woman who will sit there pulling little pieces of wool through the holes in a burlap bag. But you get hooked. You can't help yourself, really." Dick really, from becoming a pupil, became a teacher through sheer talent. I mean, dying. Remember how he was dying with
Rose?
Who was he dying with? He started dying with...
somebody from over.
Well, and he started dying with somebody in class, and then he switched, and he hired this girl to work with him, one of our classmates, and they did some beautiful dying. I mean, but his concept was a male concept. It was very different from the... What we did was... traditional. It was really like a painting. Mm-hmm. His was different because of course you were using the wide cut, a quarter of an inch. You can't really shade too much with a quarter of an inch wide piece of fabric. Mm-hmm. But we met some wonderful people. We had some wonderful times. And as I say, I just had to drop out because Henry became ill. So Phyllis is really the last practicing of the 12.
And
that's a good place to stop, isn't it?
It is, but I have more questions. And it's a good place because the tape is almost done.
Okay.
But you didn't talk about your favorite. You didn't say anything about
At the time, the favorite is the one I'm working on.
So at each time?
Yeah.
So, yeah?
Yeah.
And
She's done
some beautiful pieces.
The last 5 years or so, I have designed upon what I have done. Mm-hmm. And so it's what takes my eye and what I'd like to do. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of nice, too.
And where are your... do you have, your rugs in your house?
Oh, yes.
Or your children have your rugs?
Well, see, I have one rug in my house, plus the one under my bed, and I have two pictures, and everything else I've given away.
Yeah.
So...
I've given some things away, but I'm waiting to see, you know, if the grandchildren really are that interested. Because I don't want to give them something to have them put on the floor for the dog to sleep on.
That's what happened to Marion Sullivan. She hooked a beautiful piece, gave it to her daughter, and she used it as a rug in the entryway, and the dog used to lay on it, so she took it.
I would have done that. Like, pick it up and go out the door.
Right. No, but it's been a wonderful experience, and I miss it. And, of course, now I'm so arthritic I can't hook because I have two things I want to finish. I've acquired recently two more great-grandchildren, and for the first one, Dick designed everything was supposed to be. Now, who was that person? With the honey pot.
Oh, Winnie the Pooh.
No.
No.
It was a bear.
Yes, Pooh Bear.
Oh. Pooh Bear. Well, he designed Pooh Bear with a honey pot, and there were blocks there, so his name was Alexander, and I said to Dick, if you think I'm going to write on 10 blocks, crazy. So I said Alex and his birth date, and I hooked that for him. And then we had a little girl named Anna, born 2 years later, and I got carried away because I'd seen a piece in a rug show, and it was Noah's Ark. And it was big. And I hooked Noah, it took me 2 years, I hooked Noah's Ark for Anna. So now I have two more great-grandchildren in the same family, and I don't know what I'm going to do about them, because I would like to hook something for them, but I don't know what I'm going to do. But it's been a trip.
Yes, it's been an experience.
Aletha ever comment on the longevity of the group, that it went on and on and on?
No, because you see, she had been teaching for so many years. It seems that she learned to hook with a woman named Mrs. Moss, and they had a big class up there for years. And Mrs. Moss died, and the class had no teacher, and the pupils asked her to become a teacher. And she said to me, I was awake all night long thinking, what am I going to do? But she just stepped in, and I mean, she'd been teaching for years before we met her.
She was an excellent teacher.
She was a wonderful
and
teacher.
And I find I go back, and I if I'm doing something, I thought, what would Aletha have said?
Right.
Would she have approved of this?
Right, that's true.
And I find that she is my goal.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh, she did
wonderful
pieces. I mean, she did a huge rug. I would go up to her to see her once in a while at her home for something, and she had a rug in her dining room. I think it was an 8x10, and it had a big band like this of all fruits, if I remember rightly. Mm-hmm. Oh, it was just beautiful. You wouldn't want to put it on the floor. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Oh, look at Millie Shaw. Now, she hooks like a spider. She just churns out, and she has all these nieces and nephews, and everyone has something of hers. And her house is full mm-hmm. of beautiful, beautiful things.
That's
and she's
like
still.
The shows, right? I mean, that your show became famous because you turned out so much, and you had the.
Well, they were very prolific, and I mean, as I say, we had different people come and go. There was the core, but then people came in and mm-hmm. left
yes.
as circumstances dictated. You know.
But people would come from Auburn to see your
yeah.
show,
oh.
right?
Oh, yes.
Travel to see.
No, after a while.